In the pines, in the pines, where the sun never shines, you'll shiver when the cold wind blows. There's a grave in the pines, where the sun never shines, there's a grave that's shaded with a pine.
On the Slay Queens podcast, we take a deep dive into the dark side of the rainbow.
This isn't just a cheesy catchphrase. It is a note to remember that the topics we discuss can be very graphic and lurid in nature. Listener discretion has been advised.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hey there, folks.
Hey there, folks.
I listened to that episode randomly when I was on our road trip. And yeah, I just had to bring it back.
I appreciate you doing that. Yeah.
I'm glad that you did it too.
Yeah.
If we can't laugh at ourselves.
I mean, then we have no business laughing at anybody else.
That's right.
That is absolutely a fact and something that I say on more than a semi-regular basis. So hey there, folks. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the Slay Queen podcast.
The podcast where we
take a deep dive into the dark side of the rainbow.
That is correct. That is absolutely
what we do. I can never go up with anything clever to say other than that. That's all
we do. It's kind of our thing.
It is.
It's kind of our thing.
That's what we're here for.
Even though a lot of people are out there using the term deep dive.
More than we thought, right?
More than we thought. But I still feel very comfortable and confident just declaring it our own.
That it's our thing.
It's ours. Like, I licked it, so it's mine.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. So welcome back to all the fan folks, all you kings, queens, and folks, to our podcast where we are full of all things queer, all things murder mystery, and all things tomfoolery.
I was hoping you were going to add that in. I really was. I was like, if he doesn't say it, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Okay. Tomfoolery.
Yeah. As always, lovely to see you, Ashley.
Lovely to see you. A little messy today.
You're okay. Excited to hear your story this week.
I'm excited to hear yours because, we totally changed them up on each other.
We had a plan. We had a plan after the last time we recorded. We did that. Podcasters, I'm sure you can appreciate this. Anybody who podcasts with a co-host or a partner, we discussed who we would be covering. And we both sat down here today and disclosed the fact that we deviated from the plan completely.
Yes. Changed it up.
So I have no idea what you're doing.
Yep.
And you have no idea what I'm doing.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a little extra special today. Shall we dive into a rainbow star?
The rainbow star.
All right, let's do that.
Lead us off.
Rainbow.
Peruge.
Peruge. Peruge. We're not paying homage to the Peruge as
much.
We
haven't done that.
Yeah, I think it's something that kind of was more popular in season one, but we've not been doing it as much in season two. I'd like to see it come back.
Let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back.
So Peruge.
Start
us off.
We're going to do a rainbow star. Rainbow because we're queer. Star because we're giving shout outs, thank yous, making announcements or acknowledgements, and giving recommendations. So I would like to start by shouting out Tabby from Your New Best Friends podcast. She gave us a lovely 5-star rating review on Apple. So thank you so much for
thank
that, Tabby.
You.
Also, we want to shout out our friend on Instagram. I'll just use screen name because I didn't get permission to use a real name. Liv_BLove. She just gave us high praises and phenomenal compliments and just great feedback about the podcast and a couple of our more recent episodes. So we thank you so much for that.
Yeah, super sweet. Love
super, super,
that.
Super sweet. And we love getting that sort of specific type of compliment. Mm-hmm. We're not going to disclose anything personal, but Liv, you know.
Exactly.
Also, we want to thank our friends over at Planet River Podcast for just all the shout outs that we've gotten on your episodes and all the love that we've gotten on both Twitter and Instagram. And we would ask that our queens, kings, and folks would go show that podcast an abundance of love and support. And also, they can be found on social media, at least Twitter and Instagram that I'm aware of. I don't really use Facebook anymore, so I can't speak for their Facebook
status.
Pretty
bad about the Facebook situation, but yeah.
Yeah. And also, of course, we want to shout out our friends over at Midwest Drag 101. Jess Marshall and PhD.
Yeah.
They have shown us just an extreme amount of love on their social medias and on their podcast. And you were saying...
Yeah, I feel like we get so much positive feedback on that specific episode with PhD. So She needs to hear it. Thanks, girl.
Thanks, girl. Thanks,
thank
girl.
Thank you for snap, all that you do. Snap. Snap.
Exactly. No, we have gotten probably more compliments mm-hmm. and more positive feedback on the episode that we did with PhD than any of our other
exactly.
episodes.
Exactly. Yep.
So we do want to acknowledge that. I guess we did have an acknowledgement this week. Look at that.
Yeah, oh, we did.
Look at that.
Hey.
Serendipitous.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
I'll give you the opportunity to do it later.
That's fine.
All right, and I'm going to roll it over to you for recommendations.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I asked earlier if you had watched the E! People's Choice Awards, and I didn't really watch it per se because I'm lazy about the award shows, especially when like the social distancing is going on.
Yeah.
It's like there's not a hot
It's a little anticlimactic.
There. Yeah, exactly. However, there were a few things that I would like to note because I loved this when Tiffany Haddish, is that how you say it? That's how I say it.
I
feel like people say it differently all the time.
I've heard it pronounced Haddish,
yes.
And I've heard it pronounced Haddish.
Okay,
I've heard both. I'm not sure which is correct. Tiffany, if you're listening.
Yes, I hope you are. Hello, we love you.
Please let us know.
But like, I loved this. She was like on, you know, the red carpet per se. And when asked, how are you? She goes, I'm successful. How are you? And I loved that. I loved that. Plus the outfit was amazing.
She's so beautiful.
She truly is like, ugh, perfect face. Okay. Demi Lovato slayed with the wigs. Like, she was just looking amazing the whole time. She always does.
She's also incredibly beautiful.
But I do have to acknowledge Justin Bieber's performance in his gray sweatpants. You're welcome.
Like, gray sweatpants season,
yes.
Sort of gray
like,
sweatpants.
Like, straight up wearing, like, gray sweatsuit situation with a gray beanie. And it was just...
No, see,
wonderful.
Honey, the question that I'm asking
yes,
is for all the gay men, was he printing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I say you're welcome.
Okay. Let's just break
Everybody
it right now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You can just throw it out there. I was dancing around it, but that's exactly.
I have no couth when it comes to that sort of thing.
But but the one thing that really got me was Jennifer Lopez. She got, like, I guess the Icon Award, and well-deserved, but just the like Nicole Kidman sent a video, Renee Zellweger's video just like tore at my heartstrings. And she was just like so innocent and pure in that moment because mm-hmm. she obviously was not expecting this. And then her kids like show up on the screen. Yeah. So it was like, it made me cry. It brought a little tear to my eyes. So yeah, if you haven't watched that, at least just like check it out because it's a very like feel good moment, you know, for all the shit going on right now.
Well, since you have so highly recommended it, I'll probably go back and watch like a highlight.
At least go to like E! News, like their Instagram. They have a lot of like good highlights on there.
All right, cool. I will definitely do that. Thank you for that recommendation.
Of course. Very, you know, surface level, but it made me feel good, you know?
Well, and that's all we need are things that make us feel good or things that pique our interests or things that...
Distractions, like I always say.
Yeah, or things that just help take up some of the time that we're spending in quarantine or socially distanced from people that we might normally be spending time with. So I think it's all appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do we want to take a quick break before we come back and tell these stories?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. And we are back.
We are back.
I'll do it. Back again.
I was going to make you do it.
I could just sense that you were holding out for me. So.
Climbing up.
Yeah. All right, Ashley, you have a story for us today.
Yes.
Of which I know absolutely nothing about.
Yes, literally
so
nothing.
Please.
And I honestly didn't like know anything about this until it just like called to me. I was just like wondering because I had a dog named Dexter, right? Like for years and years and years and years because I loved the show Dexter. And like, I was just thinking like, I wonder if there were ever any like serial killers that like were based off of him. Like we know that like they took a lot of like the trash bags and like the dumping of the bodies and things that he did from serial killers in history. But I wonder if there was like the reverse of that.
Kind of like the thing that we did with Scream. You know?
I literally was thinking that too, but I was like, maybe I shouldn't go off on that tangent. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly that.
If it was a life imitating art situation.
Yes, exactly. Which we love. So I'll be damned. And like the title is just enough. I mean, there were so many different like news articles about this, but I chose the ones that I chose because the titles were my favorite. So I'm just going to start it off by reading you what I saw first and foremost that caught my eye. And it says, Portuguese lesbian lovers murdered and beheaded hotel worker before chopping off his fingers to get into phone banking app after being inspired by episode of TV show Dexter.
Oh my God.
That's a long title, but also like,
that's
what?
A lot. Okay, I could.
Tell me you wouldn't click that.
Completely understand how that's very eye-catching.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's just how I'm going to start it off. But this will be a little redundant, but I'm just going to just jump into the story here, you know?
Okay.
A pair of Portuguese lesbian lovers inspired by the Showtime serial killer TV show Dexter allegedly killed and hacked up a man, chopping off his fingers to access his bank account and steal more than $77,000 inheritance, which some of the articles that I read said 74, 77, whatever. It was a lot of money. Let me cite my sources before I forget, too.
Okay.
The dailymail.co.uk. The NewYorkPost.com, and then the Sun.com. The New York Post had a couple different ones, so.
I love the Sun. I've actually subscribed to just like regular pop-up articles the Sun because I love them so much.
I do, and I feel like this was probably their title. I can't remember which title I stole it from, but that was probably theirs.
I love them. They're very witty. They're very sassy. Like, I love the Sun.
I love it too. It's entertainment journalism. Like, when I write these things sometimes, I'm like, I could never be a journalist. Like, I have to steal so many things from the site, the sources, but in any case, Maria Malvero, 19, a security guard, and her girlfriend Mariana Fonseca, 23, a nurse, are accused of murdering Diogo Goncalves, a 21-year-old hotel worker in Portugal earlier this year. This was in March of this year.
Oh, wow. Very recent. Like 2020.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Year. Super recent.
The grisly details about Goncalves' killing emerged as prosecutors get ready to put Malvero and Fonseca on trial. Investigators say Goncalves was strangled on March 18th, and the two women allegedly cut off his fingers to gain access to his bank account from his cell phone, using his prints to swipe the cash. And I put like in my notes, I was like, I mean, most people just like wait for someone to fall asleep and, you know, use their, but you know,
yeah, or get them super drunk, like slip something in their drink.
Well, that's funny that you say that. Okay. It's so funny that you say that. Malvera and Fonseca dismembered Goncalves' body at their home near the town of Lagos using a sword and a meat cleaver between March 20th and March 25th.
Jesus, that's gruesome.
So yeah, you got to think too, like, on March 18th is when they started this. So it wasn't until March 20th that they like decided to dismember. Like, what were you doing? Coming up with a plan? I don't know. I don't know. They then
watching more episodes of Dexter, maybe.
That's what I was wondering. Like, was it a specific episode or like, did you need more notes?
I'm trying to picture what episode it was in the series that maybe inspired this for them, because I've seen all of them.
Yeah.
So,
but there are so many like murder scenes with him. Yeah. I mean, I feel like
I'm sorry.
We'll go forward. No, you're fine. You're fine. There's not a whole lot on it, honestly. They then kept his dismembered body parts in two cars, including Mr. Fonseca's own Mercedes, before disposing of each part in random locations. A number of Goncalves' body parts were discovered in all of these different random locations in Portugal on March 27th. So about like a little bit over a week after, I guess. So my next section kind of just says like, how did this happen? Like, what did they do? Malvera allegedly took advantage of the fact that Goncalves was attracted to her in order to give him an orange juice laced with a sedative after promising him a lap dance at his home, but instead decided on tying him to this said chair. So how funny that you said that.
I mean, it's funny that I said that because it makes perfect sense. And it seems like something that would happen on a show like Dexter. But also, like, who chooses to drink an orange juice before a lap dance?
I was literally, I had to like substantiate that more than once because I'm like, hey, you want a glass of like what?
Yeah.
I hope there was vodka in there. Maybe they're just not admitting because she was like underage or something.
Maybe.
Let's hope it was a screwdriver.
Yeah. Which I can respect and appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, she gives him the orange juice. She's like, haha, you know, you're asleep. I'm going to tie you up to the chair. Here we are. So like, that makes sense. It's a very Dexter move. You know, you sedate them, you tie them down so they can't move. Malvera is reported to have previously had an affair with Goncalves, but to later have moved in with Fonseca, which was the other girl, her girlfriend. I couldn't really substantiate the fact that like they had a relationship. It said it in like maybe one or two articles, but I think his last name was Fonseca too. I'm not really sure about that. I was like confused with one of the articles, but I don't know. Okay. Mull that around for a minute. In indictment charges that the women's on the indictment charges, the women spent 3 days between March 20th and 23rd sending messages from Goncalves's Facebook account to trick colleagues and friends into believing that he was still alive. So that's what they were doing, you know, while they were taking their sweet time dismembering him, which also too, like, are you just not strong enough to do it all at once? Are you having a hard time? Like, what's going on?
I've, in just doing research for cases that we've covered mm-hmm. and also just listening to other people cover cases, I think that people don't understand how time consuming dismembering a body is and how difficult dismembering a body is. Not that I have any firsthand knowledge of such things, but
you have to imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me to like cut up chicken breast. It takes time, honestly. Yeah, I've always kind of figured that. I'm like, man, that seems like the most difficult way to like dispose of a body, honestly. But if you've watched too much Dexter, then you think it's
going to
take you an evening.
Yeah, because he does it in what, like 7 minutes,
but
right?
Then, like, let's not forget that he spent basically his whole life learning how to do that, right? So,
and it's a dramatization.
Exactly. It's not real.
Yeah.
Okay, so reports at the time claimed that the women allegedly tried to make it look like he had killed himself by leaving his car overlooking the sea. They said that investigators suspected the pair slipped up after throwing the torso from a clifftop fort near stunning Belish Beach. It didn't land in the water and it left vital clues after it ended up on dry land, which I can't even read without laughing. Like, just imagine them just like chucking this torso and it's just like, I mean, that's disgusting, but
yeah,
haha on you because you think you're going to get away with this and you guys are just dumb.
Exactly.
You're an idiot.
You're going to get caught for your crime. You need to be caught for your crime. Uh-huh. And you need to be punished and penalized for
your crime. That's what I'm saying. I can't even read that sentence without laughing because I'm just like, good. You know, that's what you get. It's like instant karma.
So they were trying to make people believe that he had died of suicide and then dismembered himself? Like, I don't.
I think they were thinking that it would just be like in Dexter, where it takes how long to like find all of those trash bags. And at that point, they've been at the bottom of the ocean for how long? And who's going to be able to get anything off of it?
Did they only watch like an episode of Dexter? A singular episode of Dexter?
Because it's like a lot of things happen. Yeah. And did you not make it to the end? Or even like the end of what, season 3 or something?
Yeah, because if you had even just watched this show, you would know that it doesn't work this way.
Mm-hmm. No, it.
I feel like I keep interrupting you, but it's just so preposterous.
No, and it's fine because it's not even that long of a story, so we can embellish with dialogue.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they haven't even been sentenced yet. It wasn't even that long ago. So I always hate a cliffhanger, but I feel like it's necessary every now and then because why not? So let's see. His torso was discovered in a coastal spot near the town of Segres, around 15 miles west of Lagos, after police launched a search because his Mercedes had been found, you know, abandoned nearby on that like cliff, so to speak. His head was chanced upon by a French couple in Tavira, around 55 miles in the opposite direction. So these girls were just like driving around town, like not even around town. Like that's a long ways away. 55 miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I feel like that's like to Dayton from here. I don't even know. But yeah, they're just like tossing body parts just willy nilly, which is horrifying.
And it doesn't make any sense because why if he had died of suicide and thrown himself off of a cliff is what it sounds like they were trying to stage.
Uh-huh.
A, why would his body be dismembered? And B, why would the body parts be found in all these random locations that don't make any sense?
Do you think that if you cut someone up that they don't have DNA anymore? Like they have fingerprints still?
Yeah.
You know, like, especially if his car is just sitting there.
They just did a DNA test. Turns out he's that bitch. Sorry, I had to do it.
Oh, I can't believe we've never done that. That's so funny. That's good. That was good. Writing on Facebook, friends remembered Goncalves as a good person. Portuguese police said that two women, both with a clean criminal record, had been arrested on suspicion of murdering a 21-year-old man and desecrating his body. Antonio Madureira, a director of Serious Crime Investigation Unit, confirmed that the murder is thought to have been financially motivated, which, I mean, duh. Like, first thing you did was swipe $77,000-ish from him. And part of me wonders, too, I mean, this was, like, mid-March, like, were they just freaking out about COVID? Like, oh, I lost my job. What am I going to do? I don't know.
One of them shouldn't have lost her job. She was a nurse.
That's fair. Maybe she's like, I don't want to do this. I'm not going out this way. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck being an essential worker.
That's a very
I'm not into
point.
It. And
such
girl,
I
feel your pain, but.
Such a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. The suspected killers have been remanded in prison after appearing before a judge in a closed court hearing. Malvero reportedly admitted to a local judge who questioned her after the crime that she and Fonseca were inspired, in fact, by the Dexter TV series in the U.S. The women will be tried for a string of crimes, including murder, desecrating a body, computer fraud, and using a stolen vehicle, report said. And then I just had to add this, just adding insult to injury from these two women, that the murder victim had received this inheritance after his mom was run over in a hit and run in an accident in July 2016.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah. This poor guy.
Yeah.
All he wanted was a lap dance.
I mean,
that's so messed up. Like,
I feel like he could have accomplished that.
Some other way.
Yeah, some other way. He'd have paid far less than $77,000 in his life for it.
It's just so mad. Like, I just don't know how you get to that mentality of like, yep, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to get away with it because we watched a TV show. Apparently only a few episodes of it too.
Yeah. And clearly they were not.
Shame like, on you.
Yeah. They were not super fans of the show.
Honestly.
I knew 2 minutes into the description of their plan that shit was not going to work
not
out.
Not working. And also, aren't they making like a...
They're doing like a reboot or revival, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I love Michael C. Hall.
I do as well. And I remember...
I knew they would do it eventually.
Yeah, I read an article where he participated in an interview. It's been a couple of years ago now where they asked if he would be willing to participate in a Dexter reboot. And he said that he would as long as the reboot kind of corrected some of the mistakes they made in the finale.
Because probably saw that.
Yeah. And people were so disappointed in the way that the show ended.
Sure.
I think he basically was saying, I'll go back and right some wrongs.
Yeah.
Which I hope is what's happening.
Give me a second chance.
Yeah. I hope he's staying true to that now that he's signed back on and like is legitimately doing this.
Yeah.
So.
I hope they do that with Game of Thrones. Honestly, I mean, Dexter was one of my favorite shows. I named my dog Dexter, but like the heartbreak of Game of Thrones was way worse because that was just so freaking terrible. So fucking terrible. I don't know why I like auto corrected myself to say that. No, don't do that. I'm a grown up.
No, you're a grown ass woman.
And I remember actually.
This is your podcast. You can say what you want.
Side note, I remember the first time that back in the day, like My Favorite Murder, of course, got me into listening to podcasts years ago. And I remember when they were talking about Dexter, and I don't remember which one said it, but one of them was like, oh, I don't like it. I just thought it was boring. And I had never been so angry. I was like, fuck them. I'm not listening to this podcast anymore. It's the greatest show. Yeah, I didn't stick to that.
So you had a trial. You had a trial separation there for a while.
I did.
I get it.
It's just like I get so defensive over my shows.
Get it.
But yeah, so that's the story of something inspired by that. Wild. Okay.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear yours.
I will come back and tell you a story.
All right.
All right. We have returned.
Yeah. And this is a listener recommendation, right?
This was a listener recommendation way back in the beginning. Like this was literally probably one of the first 2 to 3 recommendations that we got from our first just like small, teeny tiny core group of people that were listening to the podcast. And the reason we didn't end up doing it at that time was because A, this is a very new story and it was brand like breaking news at that time.
Okay. Okay.
And also we had already done a story that was similar and we didn't want to do them
too close
together.
Gotcha.
And that'll all make a little bit more sense when I, you know, kind of start talking about who he is and what he is. And
I can't really remember. I feel like I'm going to remember.
But. Yeah, you'll remember this. And feel free to interrupt me because this is still such a new case.
It's funny, we both did such new cases.
We both did very new cases. So there's not a ton of information out there about this one. And it's a little anticlimactic at the end because the trial hasn't happened yet. So we don't exactly know what happened.
Here we go. We've at least both did that. There's some serendipity.
And you got to throw that in.
I did.
So that's fun.
It's all working out.
All right. Today I will be telling you the story of the grinder cannibal, Mark Latunsky. You remember this one?
Yes. It must have been around Stephen Porter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was or Stephen Port.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
it was
yeah.
It was around the time. It had just broken.
That's right.
People who knew us and knew that we were doing the podcast were reaching out going, oh, my God, have you heard about this yet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to do it. And we're like, okay, well, let's look into it. A, looked into it at the time. There was no information other yeah. than literally what you read in the headlines. And B, we either were planning to do or had done Stephen Port, mm-hmm. who is the UK grinder killer.
Right.
So we didn't want to do two grinder guys.
Situations.
Grinder situations. back to back. But I think enough time has passed.
Grinder
and
guys.
We have enough information now that we can at least tell most of the story.
Right.
So again, this is the grinder cannibal, Mark Latunsky. I got information about the specific case at NBCnews.com, the LansingStateJournal.com, www.DesMoinesRegister.com, and also the WashingtonPost.com. All right, so are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
All right. On Christmas Eve in 2019, so this is not even a year old.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, that's right. I remember this too. Like, well, how could I forget?
There you go.
How could I forget?
And for anybody who's listening, no, not that one.
Not the Kevin Bacon.
We're not talking OG Footloose Kevin Bacon. We're actually talking about a 25-year-old hairdresser and student from Clayton Township, Michigan, whose name was also Kevin Bacon. Young Mr. Bacon on, again, this is Christmas Eve 2019, told his roommate on that evening that he was leaving their home to meet a man that he had met on a popular gay dating app called Grindr. Very familiar with Grindr, as I'm sure some of the listeners are.
I'm not that familiar, but I definitely know what it is.
Yeah. Later, the roommate would also receive a text message from Kevin saying that he was, quote, having fun and might not make it home that night, end quote. This was not considered to be alarming or unusual. However, when Kevin did not show up to his parents' house for family Christmas the following day, this was cause for concern and the young man was reported missing. As police began their investigation, friends and family of young Kevin, and I'm noticing now how often I refer to him as young Kevin Bacon, young man. I think because I was trying to make that distinction between like this Kevin Bacon and
that Kevin Bacon.
That Kevin Bacon. And Kevin, if you're listening, I don't mean to be offensive. Also, tell Kira I said hello because I'm obsessed with her. She was Brenda Lee Johnson in the show The Closer, and I have considered seriously many, many times being the character Brenda Lee Johnson for Halloween.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, would
it wouldn't
that.
Be hard. I mean, just no. like a floral print skirt and like a cardigan with like some glasses, some readers.
I'm yeah. here for that.
Okay, so I use the adjective young and young man to describe him a lot, I'm now noticing, but I digress. As police began their investigation, friends and family formed groups and began to search the local areas. It was one of these search parties who discovered Kevin's car, along with his keys, his clothes, and his phone, in a parking lot near his home. However, with the use of modern technologies, i.e. searching the man's cell phone records, the law enforcement was able to determine that Kevin's last known location was actually 24 miles away in a place called Bennington Township. Text messages exchanged between Kevin and another individual led them to the home of a 50-year-old man named Mark Latunsky. It was there on December 28th that the authorities found Kevin in a secret room off of the basement. He was dead. He was naked. He had been strung up by his ankles. His throat had been slit and his testicles had been removed.
What an image. Like, imagine like finding this secret room in someone's house and like, that's what you, oh my gosh, that's very Buffalo Bill.
It is. It is absolutely very Buffalo Bill. And I would assume, like, I shouldn't assume anything, but I would imagine, or I feel like, so these guys know that there's a good chance, a yeah. strong likelihood that there's some foul play associated with this
yeah.
situation. And you're searching the home of the place that a missing man was last known to be. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, maybe this is not going to pan out. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's not that big a deal. And then you find a fucking secret room off of the basement.
Oh.
Even before you walk in there, you have to be like, fuck.
Yeah, no, nothing good is happening.
Nothing good is going to come of this. You have to, right?
Can I see what's behind door number two, please?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so before we go too much further, who the fuck was Mark Latunsky?
Yeah, who's this guy?
Who is this guy? Mark Latunsky, once a successful husband, father, and chemist, by December of 2019 had a disturbing history of mental illness and of men fleeing from his home. He had attended Central Michigan University from 1987 to 1991. He had interned for Dow Chemical the summer of that same year. And he had gone on to earn a master's degree in chemistry in 1995 from Iowa State University.
Damn.
Yeah. So reasonably successful.
Yeah. From smart guy, at least.
Smart guy. Yeah. Yeah. Intelligent.
Yeah.
Let's say intelligent. Yeah, maybe not better. Smart.
It's a better word. Yes.
Mark married a woman by the name of Emily in 2001, but the two divorced in 2013 after having had four children together. During divorce proceedings, his then-wife said that he earned a salary in excess of $100,000 yearly from the American Chemical Technologies, Inc., which is located in Fowlerville, Michigan. So again, he's seemingly not doing terribly for himself.
Yeah, life. And if you're living in Michigan making that kind of money, like, you're doing well.
Doing pretty well, yeah. Yeah. And I will try to post pictures to the social medias. The home that he shared with his wife and with his families, the home, they unfortunately found that this crime had taken place. And it's a beautiful home.
I'm sure, yeah.
All right, so additionally, divorce court filings on Emily's behalf in 2013 would indicate that Mark had been diagnosed in 2010 and also in 2012 with severe, recurrent, and chronic major depression with psychotic features, also adjustment disorder with depression and anxiety with paranoid schizophrenia, and also borderline personality traits.
Holy crap, all of those things.
He had a lot.
He's got a lot going on upstairs.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on upstairs. Jeez. Of course, no disrespect, because all of these conditions can be controlled with medications and therapy and whatnot. But according to Emily, quote, when he doesn't take his medicine, he'll watch torture or horror films. Mm. He'll talk to himself. He'll stay out all night. He'll threaten to get rid of his children's pets, which is particularly horrific to me because I'm a pet lover and you are as well.
Yeah, that's awful.
He'll claim that their son isn't his child and he will fail to shave or shower for an extended period of time, end quote.
Yeah.
Medical records would also indicate that Mark had been committed to hospitals four times for mental health concerns. And finally, Mark Latunsky had, air quotes, been on police's radar in 2019 when in October and then again in November, they received two 911 calls from two separate men claiming that they had escaped the man's home where he'd kept them restrained by their ankles in his basement.
Well, that's just, wow. That's crazy because that's how they found that guy. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to ask any questions.
It was in October and November of that year. And then, of course,
that was in December.
Young Kevin Bacon went missing in December.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez. However, both of those men who have to this day chosen to remain anonymous declined to press charges at that time, citing that they had met Mark under consensual sexual circumstances and they had simply gotten spooked during the evening's activities.
So they were scared of him.
Yeah. Or maybe they had a certain amount of like embarrassment or shame associated with the situation. But regardless, the police, like I said, air quotes, said that he had been on their radar since these incidences happened.
Sure. Yeah, obviously. Well, that's a good thing, too.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Kevin. And I do want to preface this part of the story with the fact that we are not here to, and furthermore, we won't tolerate victim blaming or kink shaming here at the Slay Queens podcast. Mm-mm. It's my intention to tell this story as I know it, simply giving the facts, and I'm going to make efforts to only insert my opinions about how terrible the crimes were. That's it. I'm not here to speak negatively of or judge anyone's sex life. Because Lord knows I've placed myself in plenty of situations over the years that could have resulted in my being victimized.
Absolutely.
And I put in my notes here, let your freak flags fly, queens.
That's right.
Yeah. Just be as safe about it as possible. And sadly, this story, this young Kevin Bacon, this is going to have to be a cautionary tale for all the listeners. Yes. So, Kevin had a fantasy. He had a sexual fantasy that he wanted to be fulfilled by a man who was older and more experienced than himself. Using the app Grindr, Kevin met Mark Latunsky, and the two agreed to meet in a parking lot near Kevin's home for a staged abduction scene. The scenario was intended to play out by Mark taking the man back to his home, binding or restraining him, and committing a simulated rape. Again, not here to kink shame, but let's acknowledge the fact that rape is horrific and, in my opinion, not necessarily something that people should be fantasizing over. But again, we're not here to victim blame. We're not here to kink shame.
Right.
This is just how the scenario was supposed to play out. All right. So the two men met at the designated area where Mark reportedly forced Kevin to strip naked, blindfolding the man and restraining both his wrists and ankles. It's also been reported that at that time, in stripping off all of his clothing, Kevin left behind his phone, keys, etc., all the personal items that you might carry on yourself, which is a stroke of genius on the part of this dickbag criminal who would be committing this crime. But I question the validity of that a little bit, because if he didn't have his phone on him or the phone wasn't on the body, then how did the text message get sent later that evening to the roommate that said, "I'm having fun, I may not be home this weekend"?
Yeah, or he could have maybe gone back and gotten it.
That's what I'm thinking, because everything that I read seems to really heavily report on the fact that
there was a text.
There was a text that was received. And also the fact that all of these items were found later in his car. So, I mean, I think it stands to reason that he may have taken the phone back, or maybe even some of the other items back, because he had plenty of time to do this. Like, the body wasn't discovered till the 28th. He went missing on the 24th.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so he had plenty of time to take care of that. But we speculate, but I guess there's only really one person who actually knows, was the next thing I had in my notes. Regardless, what we do know is that Kevin, once they met at the designated area, he was restrained. We know that he was then covered with a blanket and placed in the back of Mark's van to be driven to the Bennington Township home. Once there, the young man was taken into the secret basement room, where he was stabbed in the back of the neck, just below the hairline, severing his spinal cord.
Oh my gosh. That's aggressive.
Then his ankle bindings were placed in a pulley system affixed to the rafters of what would later be referred to as the kill room. Kevin's body was hoisted into an upside down hanging position, at which time Mark slit the man's throat to exsanguinate him or drain him of all of his blood. He then removed the testicles for consumption. DNA evidence matching Kevin Bacon would later be found on a griddle in Mark Latunsky's kitchen.
That's absolutely horrific.
So he fried and ate them.
Oh, I wonder why that of all, like, ugh.
Well, I didn't include this in my notes. Maybe that was just kind of the easiest thing for him to remove it at the time. I didn't include this in my notes, though, but according to things that he, I guess, later told investigators, he had plans for the whole body, like what he was going to do with each piece of the body so that none of it was wasted.
Well, I guess if you've got like a naked guy hanging there, that's probably the first thing that's like the easiest to grab on and be like, lop that off, I guess. Oh, that's so. And it's also, I wanted to say, it's very Dexter as well, which is more like the ice truck killer scenario, you know?
Oh, with slicing the throat and hanging them upside down to drain them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just keep bringing it back around.
Right?
Yeah. This is how in sync we are.
Isn't it?
We're so in sync. Okay. So what ultimately happened? Mark was arrested, and Judge Ward Clarkson determined that there was enough evidence against the man to indict him in the circuit court on charges of murder and mutilation of a dead body. However, Mark and his defense attorney, Douglas Corin, would petition the court to ask the judge to add the reduced charge of assisted suicide. According to Mark, after their sexual encounter, which was entirely consensual, Kevin began talking about how they could, quote, make his body disappear, end quote. Kevin told Mark that he had previously, this is according to Mark, Kevin told him that he had previously been suicidal. Mark told police that at that point, in an act of assisted suicide, not murder, that he stabbed Kevin in the back of the neck just below the hairline. He then realized that Kevin wasn't actually dead. So he said, in order to not watch the man suffer or let the man suffer, he slit his throat as well. However, upon review of the messages exchanged between the two, Kevin had actually asked for reassurances that he would be safe at all times. None of the text messages suggested that Kevin wanted Mark to kill or harm him in any way.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. Because the defense's request for consideration of, or for the courts to consider the reduced charge, was 100% denied.
Yeah, goodbye.
All right, so next, they would argue that due to his extensive history of behavioral disorders, Mark was not competent to stand trial. So with all the delays due to COVID-19 and the pandemic and everything shutting down and everyone having to be quarantined, because of course this happened kind of right at the height of when all of this started to affect the world, it wasn't until late June of 2020 that Mark was sent to the State's Center for Forensic Psychology for evaluation. Then finally, on October 5th, Monday, October 5th of 2020, so very recently, the county's district court judge ruled that Mark Letunsky was, in fact, mentally fit to stand trial for the murder of Kevin Bacon, not assisted suicide. After this ruling, the victim's father, whose name was Carl Bacon, who actually is really just super sweet, he has previously been very outspoken in describing his son as the type of person who loved and cherished everyone he touched. Mm-hmm. But in an interview after the man was deemed to be competent to stand trial, he said, quote, that he and the family were glad that it's moving along. Finally, we're getting some movement. We're hoping he gets life in prison, and that's what we're hoping for, end quote. Unfortunately, though, that's where we have to leave everybody. With the global pandemic and everything that's going on with regard to COVID-19, there's been no further movement in this case. The trial hasn't taken place, and we don't know how it's going to turn out. But
so maybe like that could be a Patreon episode, one of ours,
maybe.
When we finally have an answer.
Maybe.
We always keep up at least.
Yeah.
We don't do a lot of like unsolved things, right? Because a lot of the things I especially cover are way earlier in history, but yeah, we can definitely update on this.
For sure.
At some point.
Yeah, we're going to try to keep an eye out for any developments, and hopefully those developments happen relatively soon because this family's already been waiting long enough.
Well, yeah, especially yours. I mean, mine was a little bit sooner, but yeah, it's just enough is enough already.
Exactly.
So yeah, that was a wild ride. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just such a crazy story.
Uh-huh.
And I have to consider how horrified that poor man must have been. I mean, and it's like he understood there was a potential danger associated with what he was doing because
exactly. He
asked to make sure that there were reassurances that he would be safe the entire time. And at that moment at which he realized that he wasn't safe, I can only imagine like how horrific that must have been.
Especially too, because like, I mean, role-playing can be fun, you know, and that's just, it's terrible when something that you think is going to be just like an exciting evening turns just so terribly wrong. Like when you did absolutely nothing, but try to have fun, really.
Yeah. And he was a young man who was exploring his sexuality and exploring some fantasies. And you know what? We should all be entitled to do those things.
And be safe, especially when you're assured of being safe.
Exactly. You know? But I guess that just goes to show that you maybe shouldn't make yourself
that
so vulnerable around people that you can't trust to be honest with you about whether or not they're going to place you in a dangerous situation.
And you know, too, like we've all met someone at some point that you're like, yep, I could totally see this person like having tied up bodies in their basement. Like you just get that because you can tell that there's something untreated with them in a way. And I just can't hate to like think that this guy probably felt that like when he met him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's probably like, oh, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, this was a mistake.
Uh-huh. Because we've all had moments like that where you're like, oh, shit. So
everybody say hello to Lucy.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi,
she's
Lucy.
She's been very present.
No, we acknowledge her. We appreciate her.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. So.
Yeah, I think that brings us to the end, though.
I think that brings
us right to the
time.
Yeah.
We would like to thank you all for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We hope that you enjoyed it.
Yes, let us know.
Yes, and if you did, let us know. How can they let us know?
Dive into the DMs.
Dive into the DMs, either on Twitter or Instagram.
Yes.
We are
Slay Queens Pod.
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've made it really easy for you to find us. Just search Slay Queens Pod. Mm-hmm. Almost everywhere.
Yep.
We do have Facebook. We're not as active there.
I do check the messages, though. I will get at least notified of that.
Yeah, but we are super active on our Instagram and our Twitter.
Yes.
So you can reach us there. And we do pretty immediately, at least I do, I don't want to speak for you, get notifications if people hit us up on Gmail.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's also Slay Queens Pod.
Yep.
We are available, I think, to stream on basically all streaming platforms except Stitcher. And I am working on that one.
Awesome.
Actually, I am working on that one.
Rate and review on iTunes. Though.
Yes, please. Yeah, 5 stars on iTunes. It really just helps get us out there to be discovered by other people. And I say it all the time. We just want to grow the queendom.
We do.
We would hope that you would all be well going into this holiday season.
Yes. Be safe. Be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Be well, like you said, kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And also something very important. We want you to
go out and slay, queens.
Just not
just
not each other.
I'm going away, but I won't come back on a lonesome railroad line. But I can't forget that sweet little girl who sleeps in the pines and the pines.